from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
We're going to see what happens. We're talking to them now. It was a very nice statement they put out. We'll see what happens. No, we'll see what happens. It could even be the 12th. We're talking to them now. They very much want to do it. We'd like to do it. We're going to see what happens.
That's President Trump talking to the press, remaining open to holding a summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un on June 12th. This indeed is Russ Jones, the producer of Washington Watch, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Happy Friday. Are you glad it's Friday? Memorial Day weekend. You're going to get together, eat some ribs, eat some chicken, get together with family and friends, and enjoy a little family time. I know I am. And guess what? I'm here in Washington, D.C., been here for Watchmen on the Wall. It's been a wonderful week. Got to meet pastors from all over the country, all over the globe, matter of fact. Got to hear some really good speakers. And guess what? If you weren't there today, you missed a really big surprise. Vice President Mike Pence made a surprise visit and blessed the folks that were there today at Watchmen on the Wall. And it has just really been a wonderful week and a great time to be a Christian and be in the foxhole and be fighting the fight. Well, as I said, President Trump said lines of communication had opened between two countries after officials said Thursday that the North Koreans had become unresponsive, leading to the planned summit's cancellation. Well, Hogan Gidley, White House Deputy Press Secretary, will be here and weigh in on that matter and bring us all up to date. And the 15th annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing, as I said, has concluded. We'll hear from a couple of participants that were there. Evron Bergiano, senior pastor of Agape Bible Church, a non-denominational Romanian American Christian church in Portland, Oregon, will be here to talk with us about how he legally became a citizen of the United States. And Ryan Baumgartner, founder of the Radiance Foundation, he's going to be here. I'm going to have a nice chat with him. And you're not going to believe, he spoke at a high school. They approved his message, but then guess what? Conservative, pro-life guy, wow, they got all bent out of shape. And you know what? I'm going to get to share with you a really cool story. I was at the White House earlier today. I had the pleasure and honor of meeting the oldest living Pearl Harbor survivor, 106 years young, Mr. Chavez. Got to meet with the president yesterday, and I got to talk with him, and I got a few sound bites and a little bit of an interview that you're going to get to hear later in the show. Well, as we reported yesterday, President Trump canceled his planned summit with North Korea and its leader, Kim Jong-un. But today, North Korea said it will, quote, sit down at any time in any way, planned summit with its leader, Kim Jong-un. Well, joining us now is Hogan Gidley, White House Deputy Press Secretary. Hogan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I know you're chomping at the bit to probably have a little family time. Thanks for dropping by and joining us here today on Friday. But isn't this classic Trump art of the deal? I really like digging in and seeing how he's navigating all this.
It's absolutely incredible what he's been able to do in such a short time. Before I get to North Korea, let's stop and just remember the last 2 weeks and how quickly things have flown by. The president got three detainees in North Korea, yep. American citizens brought back. I was at the airport at Joint Base Andrews at 2:30 in the morning when they came in. It was incredible to witness in person. We moved the embassy to its rightful place. In Israel, to Jerusalem. We got out of an Iran deal that we now know paved the way for Iran to get a nuclear weapon, despite the lies that were told to us that it made us all safer. Not true. We passed Title X funding. VA choice is about to come up. We got prison reform out of the House, not to mention the North Korea situation, which you started with, which is one of the most incredible things I've been able to witness while I've been at this White House. For years, decades, people have paid lip service to this problem. The president comes in. Everyone said at the beginning, no way. He's a warmonger. He's pushing us to nuclear war. And then as soon as he takes the meeting, everyone said, no, he's weak. Now he's weak on North Korea. So he went from warmonger to weak in one invitation exception. So this absolutely exposes kind of where the political rancor falls. But this president said today, or said yesterday in this letter, there was a setback that for both North Korea and quite frankly, the world, that Kim Jong-un was acting the way he was because it forced the president to pull out of this negotiation. He said, look, you're not serious about a summit. I'm going to step away from the table. Mm-hmm. Well, sure enough, what happens then? North Korea comes out and says, no, we really do want to meet. You played the president's words today. The president said, look, we're still talking to them. I obviously can't get too much further ahead than that. But to watch the art of the deal play out in real time is spectacular.
Don't you know he's done it 100 times? Backed away from the table. Ain't going to play that way. When you get your right mind in place, come on, let me know, and we'll get back together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, that's been the whole deal. The president was clear-eyed going into this, and he said, I appreciate the rhetoric, but actions have to follow. The North Koreans promised denuclearization. They promised not to object when we conducted our ordinary military exercises with South Korea. They started to object to those. We had an exercise they objected to. They began to break several promises. The president said, listen, I told you guys before, if we have it, great. I'd like to get it done. But if it's not, then we'll walk away from the table. That's the deal. And people even said, oh, he could be even up for a Nobel Prize. Mr. President, are you excited about a Nobel Prize? The president said, no, I'm excited about denuclearization. The thought of that is what has brought me to the table here. And so I'm going to try to accomplish something that nobody else could or nobody else would. And it's been incredible. I would make one small little point about Democrats and their opposition to this, which has been so comical. You remember when he took the meeting, Democrats said, well, this is a win for Kim Jong-un. You're elevating him. This is a win for North Korea. Now he decides to get out. Pelosi runs to the microphone and says, well, this is a win for North Korea. Look at this. He's being played. So you can't have it both ways. This president is standing up to protect the American people, our partners and allies in the region. And look, if we have a meeting, the president will be ready. He's prepared. He wants his team prepared. But right now, as it stands, we're not heading over there. But things can change, as the president says all the time, and we'll see, as he likes to say.
And you know, what I'm just intrigued by is it seems like the Democrats and the left in general, they just kind of root against President Trump, hoping that he will fail. I've never quite seen anything like it.
Absolutely. The president tweeted as much this morning, talking about several instances and where they're opposed to the president. And it seems like their hatred for this president is greater than their love for this country. And that should be frightening to a lot of people. And when the president comes out and says, for example, MS-13, one of the most vicious, violent, brutal, bloodthirsty gangs to have ever walked the face of the earth, and says they're animals for the way they act and the killings they do, Democrats leap to the defense, not of the American citizens, mind you, but of the MS-13 gang. How dare you call someone an animal? Well, Democrats don't have a problem calling Donald Trump animal on Twitter and on cable shows.
Right.
This president comes out and says this gang is literally cutting people's heads off and taking people's hearts out of their chests. And you want me to defend that? Never. I'm going to defend the American people. We've already deported arrested like 796 MS-13 members, and it's an 83% increase from fiscal year 2016. The president is moving heaven and earth to protect the American people, and now it's time for Congress to act, because these loopholes are what's allowing this gang to come into this country, and Democrats are defending the MS-13 gang. They want to take your taxes and take more of your own money. They want to get rid of the tax cuts. This is what they're running on: open borders, MS-13 gang protection, and keeping more of your hard-earned money in their pockets. It's just breathtakingly odd to watch where the Democrats are right now.
And Hogan, I want to slip in this next soundbite. I believe the president spoke of the Naval Academy commencement speech here today, and he's always so positive. Listen.
Our country has regained the respect that we used to have long ago abroad. Yes, they're respecting us again. Yes, America is back.
Yes, I do believe a lot of folks believe America is back, and I think, you know, we saw that in the And I think a lot of citizens, a lot of voters, Hogan, appreciate the president's optimism and his strive for the best in trying to bring back that proud brand. And it's appropriate that that's before Memorial Day weekend here. You know, that American pride that a lot of folks had, the post-World War II generation.
You are absolutely right. It was a great speech. Listen, when the president got elected, I mean, the Democrats were saying the economy was going to go into the tank. The exact opposite happened. They said he would ruin our relationships internationally with our partners and allies, and he would take this country down a hole from which we could never recover. Instead, we're more respected, we're feared, and quite frankly, we're beloved like we never were under Barack Obama, because this president has kept so many of his promises. Democrats said the world watches what we do. They're right. The world does watch. And when they see this president come into office and tick off campaign promise after campaign promise, and they're all realized, they're signed into law, the American people are benefiting, the international community sees we're joining with partners and allies in strikes on Syria, for example, and getting hard and cracking down on Russia when the Obama administration wouldn't do it. These are the types of things that the international community sees, and it's why we're respected now. The president's absolutely right, and it's his resolve, his backbone, and his strength that he's shown that, quite frankly, I think give a lot of sense of a greater sense of patriotism in this country, because he's not apologizing for America being America. He is not apologizing for America being great. He's saying we're great, we're going to protect our nation first, and we're going to protect you as well if you're one of our partners and allies, and if you're not, then you're going to be treated as such.
And, you know, I mentioned earlier in the top of the show, I got to meet the oldest living survivor of Pearl Harbor today. It was an honor. And you know what he said, Hogan, when he got to meet President Trump? Greatest privilege of his life.
That's incredible coming from him. I saw him today, actually, in the West Wing. It's funny you say that.
Did you?
I was with Sarah Sanders. I was, and we were walking around, and we saw him and stopped just to pay our respects and say, you know, just thank you for your service and for what you do. And he couldn't have been kinder. His family was with him as well, and I think his daughter was there, and she was the first
yes.
female Navy, mechanic, I believe. So, I mean, just a long—
I think you're right.
Treasured tradition in that family. I mean, talk about being proud of your father, and then the father being proud of the daughter. I mean, what an amazing family. But you know, this day, this weekend, is about the people who've protected and served this country for so long, and this president understands that. You should have seen, I mean, the reception he got in that speech today, and when he stayed and shook every single hand. He didn't make a speech and leave. He didn't make a speech and shake the hands of the top
right.
brass. He shook every hand, and it was very impactful.
Well, Hogan, thank you so much. We're out of time. I appreciate you stopping by and joining us here on Washington Watch today. We'll have you back real soon. You have a blessed Memorial Day weekend.
Have a blessed one. Thanks so much for the time.
All right. Thank you. That's Hogan Gidley. He's the Deputy Press Secretary at the White House. Good guy. Very informative. Well, coming up next, I'm going to talk to a Romanian pastor in Portland. He's been here in Washington, D.C. for Watchmen on the Wall. We're going to hear about his journey to becoming a legal citizen. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Pleasure to be with you here on this Friday. By the way, all this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter, at T Perkins. You can follow me, at R Jones Reports. And noticed a lot of you have been checking me out and following me lately. I appreciate that. And we've had a great time here this week at the 15th annual Watchman on the Wall at the Hyatt Hotel, just about a block from the Capitol. And this morning, I was over at the White House, and I was had an incredible opportunity. I didn't plan on this, but saw a gentleman. He was in a wheelchair and had his military hat on and a white jacket. And unbeknownst to me, it's the oldest living survivor of Pearl Harbor, 106-year-old Ray Chavez. And Ray is a Mexican-American born of immigrant parents who worked in California in the fruit and vegetable fields as a young man, is the oldest living survivor of Pearl Harbor. And Ray served on the USS Condor and was one of the very first sailors to spy the enemy submarine. And he got to meet President Trump, and actually the president tweeted about him. And I took a minute and asked him a few questions, and you know, it's a little hard to understand, but I went through it and sifted out, and just take a minute and listen to what he had to say about his experience meeting President Trump and being in Pearl Harbor. Go.
Wow, what was that like?
Oh, that is something I'll never forget till I get buried.
Are you afraid that some of this generation may not remember all the sacrifices that your generation made?
That's right. That's right. They're always, now they're forgetting who we are, and we have to explain or have a meeting and give them the explanation of what we went through, and they try to understand it,
tell me what was it like to meet the president, and he so appreciates our military.
That was the highlight of my life. I've been close to a president, but never that close. And I certainly appreciate having me and my family meet him.
Isn't that amazing? And he's here meeting the president. He spoke a little bit before a small crowd. And nothing like being in the right place at the right time. And isn't that really what Memorial Day, that really put me in the mood for Memorial Day. And I am concerned about this generation. You know, my father-in-law, John McMullen, he's Southern Baptist pastor, been preaching 55 years. He was in the Navy. My grandfather was in the Navy. In that generation, there's a sense of pride and patriotism that I sometimes wonder, how do you keep that? How do you capture that? You know, in Israel, you're required to serve. I think the men serve 3 years, the women serve 2 years. And does that do something to embed a sense of patriotism and pride of country? And I remember just like yesterday when I was 18, turned 18 in June of 1978, living in Kansas City, and I had to take that postcard to the mailbox, to the post office in Brookside. That's a district in Kansas City. I remember it just like yesterday, putting that card in the box for the military. I had to register for the military, and I never received a call. I was never drafted. And as I've shared on this program before, there were seasons in my life that I could have entered the military. I was actually heavily recruited, could have entered as a captain, and I didn't do it. And give a big shout out to my patriots in Mississippi and the Mississippi State Guard here on this Memorial Day weekend. It's been an honor to serve with you, and it's been a bucket list in able to serve and to see somebody like Ray Chavez and the stories that he has and the pride of country, the pride of nation, and to see him. He was, if I could just paint a picture, he was in a wheelchair and very much hunched over and had to strain to raise his head to look you in the eye. But the years of age and wear and tear on his back and body is causing him to hunch over severely. But he raised his head and looked me in the eye and politely answered my questions. And you could just see the gleam in his eye when he explained the joy of meeting President Trump and serving in the country. And I know he would talk for a long time if we pressed in on that. Are you concerned about this generation not understanding why we do what we do in our military and why we reach out to other nations in peace but are prepared to protect our nation when we have to, and why it's important to build our military and have a strong military and defense and to protect our freedoms. Matter of fact, the pastor that we've been trying to get, which we haven't been able to get, from Romania, one of his stories was he hears stories, and he said on MSNBC and CNN, and he hears these pundits talking about things that remind him of his years of living in a communist country, and it scares him to death, and he's concerned and wants to get out that word that, look, we have a lot of freedoms here. We have a lot of things that maybe we don't, that we take for granted. So anyway, that's a story I wanted to share with you. Well, coming up next, a public school smears a pro-life guest speaker, then admits, well, it lied. Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation, he's going to be here next. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch, Friday edition. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. This is powered by the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C. Well, I got to meet this next guest, Watchman on the Wall. Great guy, beautiful family, on fire for the Lord, doing some really great work, traveling all over the country. And I was doing a little research, and I learned that recently he was invited to share his story of adoption at Vicksburg High School, a public school in Michigan, and he submitted an online the Life Has Purpose presentation, and the principal of the school there approved it without any changes. But what happened next is pretty unbelievable. With us right now is Ryan Bomberger, founder of the Radiance Foundation. Ryan, are you there?
I am here. It's good to be here with you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Ryan, you are heading up a 501c3 educational, faith-based, life-affirming organization to help people understand and embrace their God-given purpose, and I guess you set out to do that. Well, do you remember, brother, one of the messages we heard here, that if you speak truth, trouble will find you?
Yes, that's been my experience all my life.
Yeah, well, what happened?
Through Radiance. You know, I was speaking at a fundraiser that evening at a pregnancy center, a Three Rivers Pregnancy Center, and they thought it would be a great opportunity to speak to young people, which we do all the time in private schools. I speak a lot of college campuses, you know, colleges like Harvard and Princeton and Columbia Law School, Penn State, and the list goes on. So we wanted to speak to public high school students, and the principal was all about it. He was excited. He was, I mean, he's a pro-life principal, at least he claimed to be so, and approved the outline without any changes, which actually surprised me, just as long as I didn't say certain words. Couldn't say pro-life, pro-choice, you know, I couldn't mention abortion, but I was able to tell my story of adoption and the courage of my birth mom, who, despite the horror and the violence of rape, still chose life for me and gave me the incredible gift of adoption. And let's just say the presentation that I thought went really well had a different outcome 24 hours.
Hello.
Later.
Isn't that interesting how, you know, when folks start hearing the truth, I guess conviction falls on folks, and you just never know how they're going to respond.
True. And of course, we often know that they're not really responding necessarily to what is going on or to what you've said. It's mainly because of what you believe. And that's what I discovered. Within 24 hours, the school had issued an apology and lied about they said that I deviated from the outline that was approved, that I was overtly political, and they were so saddened by it, and that students and staff were discomforted by the things that I said.
Right.
That was heartbreaking.
I was reading a column you wrote, and you said, I don't ever want to be politically correct. It's an oxymoron. I want to be morally correct. When torn between what's right and what's wrong, I pray for the fortitude to do what's right and good, no matter the circumstances. Bravo.
I was raised well. You know, a lot of that comes from my father, who is a business owner, and I watched him, and I watched him act in integrity and really hard business decisions throughout my life. And so, you know, I'm able to model myself after my father, who was a man who loves Jesus. And so I couldn't understand the decision of that principal. I talked to this principal, and he literally told me over the phone, yes, you're right. It was, you didn't deviate from it. You're right. You're right. I had to do what was politically correct.
Well, Well, Ryan, you've been hanging out at the Hyatt here in Washington, D.C. For the Watchman on the Wall. I just wanted to bring you on. Love what you're doing with the Radiance Foundation. And got to meet a lot of folks, got to hear a lot of heavy policy issues. And there was a pretty big challenge for pastors to put on the armor and be prepared to run into battle, right? A lot of times we instinctually maybe want to run the other way, but we need to be ready to run into the fight. We heard that message pretty loud and clear.
Absolutely. And it is a fight, and it's a daily fight. It's an hourly fight, and it's a fight that we have to first spend on our knees. And, I mean, that's our first and last resort in all this, understanding that there's a world that so desperately wants to know the truth, and we have to have pastors bold enough to use that pulpit to do what their calling is, to, you know, preach the good news, which is truth. That's what it is.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about some of the work you do and what you're out there trying to communicate and how folks might get involved.
Sure. The work that we do through the Radiance Foundation is life affirm. We try to creatively affirm that life has purpose, and we do that through our videos. We do that through our ad campaigns. Some of them are billboard campaigns, and our fearless research and writing, our articles tackle everything from abortion to adoption to fatherlessness, LGBT activism, judicial activism, religious liberty, free speech. We also have our own outreaches to birth moms who choose adoption over abortion. And we do these multimedia presentations across the country, lots of them. So they can go to radiance.life and see the original content that we create. That our heart is to really to equip people to know how to engage in these tough conversations and give them, you know, the confidence that they can engage in these things and they can help change people's hearts and minds.
Well, Ryan Baumberger, thank you so much. Know you're tired. Go enjoy your family over the weekend. Thanks for coming on Washington Watch. We'll be praying for you and appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk with a Romanian pastor who's serving up in Portland, Oregon, Avram Bergiano. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Make sure you go to tonyperkins.com. You can find all of this great content. Follow Tony on Twitter, at tperkins. And follow me, at rjonesreports.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
Round and third, heading towards home. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Good to be with you on this Friday afternoon. Well, as promised, we've got Avram Burgiano on the phone. He's a Romanian pastor serving a congregation, Agape Bible Church, a non-denominational Romanian-American Christian church in Portland, Oregon. Another pastor I got to meet here at Watchman on the Wall and wanted to have him on. Avram, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Nice to be with you.
All right. Good to be with you, too. So just briefly tell us just a little bit about your journey getting here. You were pretty passionate about telling me about your legal process of becoming a citizen here and serving the Romanian people up in your area. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, and I came legally to the States in 1985. We were waiting with the family to come for quite a couple of years. In 85, we came April 17th. We've done all the paperwork, checking background check, health, testings and checkups. And then from Romania, we had to travel to Rome, Italy, for another set of checkings. And then we landed in Portland, Oregon. And from that year on, I'm still there. I worked as a manufacturing manager for Japanese companies for 15 years. But then I switched from part-time to full-time pastoring a bilingual church, Romanian-American church in Portland, Oregon, Agape Church.
And this was your first time attending Watchman on the Wall, is that right?
Yes, the first time, and I was impressed. I'm very happy to see men and women standing for the things that the Bible talks about. And also, many of Americans, they don't know how it is to live under oppression, under a communist country, living a Christian life. And the principles and the teachings and the truths that they were spoken at the convention was unbelievable. I'm very happy. Yeah, I was very happy to attend.
And you were telling me that you're very troubled by some of the stories and whatnot you hear on,
yes,
on some of the more liberal networks.
You know, when I came in 85, everything was fine. You know, if you were to say I'm a Christian, or if I were to say from 88 I was ordained as a minister, okay, nice to meet you, a pleasure to see you, Pastor. There was happiness all over the country. And in the last, 10, 15 years, everything has changed. and the discussions, and I like to be up to date to the things that are happening in America. The subjects that are brought up, the liberties that they are spoken, the things, the direction that this country goes. Every time I was listening, especially CNN, MSNBC, and other cable channels, it just gave me goosebumps, and I was and I'm still very, very concerned to the direction that they go, because living under communism, when some sentences are spoken and the things are spoken about liberties, and especially that I came to the States because of the liberty to profess and to believe in my God and to be free. And what I hear now, it's really very sad.
Well, Pastor, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was in one of your neighboring countries, Belarus, and I know a little bit about what you're talking about. It's the last remaining dictator in Europe, and I believe my room was bugged. I was followed by KGB folks everywhere I went.
The things are, living in Romania under communism, I was not allowed to speak about my faith. I was not allowed. I was one of my brothers was beaten many times. My father a few times went in prison for 2-3 days. We did not know where he is. We were fasting and praying, and he came back home. But I was not allowed to speak about Christ, even though we did the Bible study underground and we fought big time. But coming here to hear the same sentences, saying that if I'm a Christian and I believe what the Word of God speaks about marriage, the way you're supposed to live your life as an authentic Christian, it really it's bad. Yeah. But I do have faith, and what I see, and especially because I was invited to attend this conference, for me was, I believe that there is hope. There are men and women in America, and I believe with all my heart that ethnics, Christian ethnics in the United States, they need to wake up. We came from communist countries. We said this is the best country on the planet. Then we made money. We have houses, brand new cars, but we did not stand for the things, for the truth, and for the things that we stood up in communism. And I think it's time for us. And if someone listens, every single ethnic background Christian, we need to stand up and make sure that this country will stay and will be changed in the direction that our founding fathers wanted us to be.
Yes. Amen. Well, Pastor, thank you so much. I'm glad we were able to get you on Washington Watch.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. And may God bless everything that you guys do and this station and everything. And I hope that we will see each other again.
Amen, and we'll follow up and keep in touch with you. And thank you for what you're doing in Portland. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Avram Bergiano, senior pastor of Agape Bible Church, Romanian-American. It's a Christian, a Romanian-American Christian church in Portland, Oregon. A very fine man. Got to talk to him a couple of times. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Been a couple of days since we've been able to do that. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Chime in on what you've heard here today. What are you going to do for Memorial Day weekend? How do you honor our nation's heritage and our military and those who have given their life? How do you keep that alive in your family? Are there ways that you teach your children to honor our military and to have a patriotic spirit about themselves? Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Wasn't that a great story from Pastor Avram, hearing about him? And you know, sometimes it takes someone like him who knows what it's like to live under a communist regime, and to see those elements start to creep into our nation, they give a very interesting perspective on things. As I was saying, I was in Belarus, and I'm telling you, I saw folks get beaten. I saw folks get put into vans and taken away, and the Christian church there has to be very quiet. I've been to Cuba, and I have seen some of these things myself, and we just, we don't want that here. But if you read certain polls here lately, younger generations seem to embrace socialism and communism and think that it's a good thing because of some kind of inequalities that they seem to exist. But here's a man, Pastor Avram, who worked hard, came here from Romania, and did things the right way, the legal way. Well, let's go to Joseph in Corinth, Mississippi. Hi, Joseph.
How you doing, brother?
Boy, talk about a community with rich military history. How are you doing? Welcome to the program.
Oh, yeah. The main thing I was calling about is share with you about that, about hate, how much they hate Trump so much, and giving us an opportunity, a window to understand really what hate is, because with the MS-13 thing, and they try to turn that back on him, they hate him so bad. It's a lesson for everyone to have hate in their life, and we're going to begin to understand it's destructive, it's stupid, and it's just going to destroy you. It's just going to destroy yourself.
Right. Yeah, very, very true. And you know what? The sad part that folks don't see is folks join these gangs, and they see them as family, but they embed certain ideals and worldviews that are just not in line with a biblical worldview. And you know, as we heard from Todd Starnes yesterday, he had some much harsher words than animals. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Rodrigo in Iowa. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I don't quite understand why. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. I just don't quite understand why it is that, and maybe it has been, but why hasn't someone truly challenged this farce of separation of church and state when everyone knows that it's not what it appears to be or what it is said to be? Why hasn't someone challenged this and finally gotten to the root of it and said, okay, look, this is not what you say it means? It is actually that the state, i.e. the government, would not go into the church and influence the church. But there's nothing, it's a one-way wall. Why don't?
Right.
Why doesn't someone ultimately challenge this so we can do away with this farce of not being able to profess the word of God in a public setting, in any type of government setting? Has anyone actually done that?
Actually, there is good news on that front. There are a lot of folks that are working very hard on that front. Family Research Council is one of them. But we heard a very loud and clear message from Vice President Pence today about challenging the Johnson Amendment, which is directly at the root of what you're talking about. But the irony in the whole thing is that the quote-unquote separation of church and state was to protect the church, not the state. And folks
Correct.
Seem to get all those things confused, but there are a number of members of Congress on the Hill that are very passionate about this idea, and there's a number of law firms that FRC works with that are also very passionate about protecting those kind of rights that you're discussing. So I would stay tuned and be a little more be encouraged just to know that there are people that are working on this very issue that you're talking about. And there's things happening under the surface, and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Thanks for calling, Rodrigo. Appreciate it. That's a great question. God bless you too. Let's go to my home state, the Show Me State of Missouri. Hi, William. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi.
How are you?
I enjoy your show all the time, and
I enjoy it too.
You know, unless the people take up arms and go after those leftist politicians that are doing all this, they will succeed because or voting them out of office does no good. You know, they will succeed at what they're trying to do. And by the people's hands, then the tyranny
right.
will start.
Well, you know, I think there are some that are very concerned because they know that the nation is armed, and they're armed because they want to protect their families and their freedoms, and that's why we're seeing such a strong push. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Birmingham, Alabama. Karen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, I was calling in because I heard your discussion about how the younger generation is moving towards socialism and communism. But what I wanted to say was that what was, you know, Soviet communism is, and what's been going on in China is not really communism or socialism. It's totalitarianism. Mm-hmm. Which is what was practiced by the Nazis and Pol Pot, and is so dangerous and is what our country is moving towards, which is the worship of the state, and that we are subjects of the state and not citizens of the kingdom of heaven.
That's an excellent, excellent point, and that needs to be taught more, wouldn't you say, Karen? Did we lose Karen? I think we lost Karen, but one of the things that we're seeing, and this isn't true, there's a number of organizations that are really breathing into younger folks, and I get to see some of that here while I've been here in Washington, D.C., where a lot of strong, passionate conservatives that are taking up the mantle and going out there and charging into the battle, so it's good. Let's go to Pete in South Carolina. Hi, Pete. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Rush, great job on the show. And I was in the combat here in the last call, or previous one, talking about why aren't more people doing more to make it possible for people to talk about God in the public square and schools and municipal buildings, that kind of thing. And you said, well, there's a lot of people doing things, like you mentioned FRC, which is just a wonderful organization. And so I started a group here in South Carolina, which is going to be nationwide, called Teach Our Christian Heritage. I'm going to be launching the website some point soon, and I'm doing petitions locally, and I call a lot of politicians in South Carolina. Most never, ever return phone calls. But the idea is that we should require that our schools teach the Christian heritage of our country, the true history of our country, and it should be taught every year, every grade, every student, every school.
Yeah, don't you think some of that starts at home as well? By the way, what do you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact,
you know what,
Pete? Yes. Yeah.
We're out of time. I appreciate you calling Washington Watch today, and you have a blessed weekend. And folks, I leave you with this from Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will roar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And friends, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we will see you again on Monday. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.